Thank you, Brother Don. Great job. We sure appreciate it. And thank all of you for being here. We appreciate that. As we begin this evening, please turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And as we're turning, I believe that most of us here are well acquainted with Saul of Tarsus. As a young man, he had risen to a position of some prominence in the Jewish religion and had endeared himself to the Jewish leaders by his rigorous persecution of those Jews who had accepted the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In writing of his former position in the Jews' religion, he wrote in Philippians 3, verses 4b through 6, "If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. However, we do know that the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul even as he was on the road to Damascus for the purpose of further persecution of the church. After believing in and obeying the Lord, Saul became a Christian. And when the Lord sent Ananias to Saul to tell him what to do, he told Ananias in Acts the ninth chapter," if you turn with Acts the ninth chapter with me, "he told him in Acts 9, verse 15 and 16, he said, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' From this time, Saul the persecutor became Saul the faithful Christian, and he would soon be known as the Apostle Paul." Paul did suffer many things for the Lord, and he did appear before kings to present and to defend the faith that he had embraced. One such appearance is when he appeared before King Agrippa. Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem for preaching Christ, although they were trumped up charges that he had brought Gentiles into the temple and defiled the holy place, which were all trumped up charges. But as a matter of fact, when Paul was almost killed in a riot there, instigated by the Jews, and that failing, a plot to ambush Paul was discovered, he was transferred to a prison in Caesarea. Now, a corrupt Roman official named Felix was the governor there. He sought money from Paul, and not receiving any, when he left office, he courted the favor of the Jews by keeping Paul imprisoned. But he had given orders that Paul was to be allowed some liberties. Let's turn with me to Acts 24. Acts 24 and verse 23. "And he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him." Now, following Felix as governor of that province was Porcius Festus. 3 days after his arrival in Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem. Now, the Jewish leaders hated Paul for being a traitor, they call him, a traitor, if I may put it that way, and they had already been trying to get him put to death. By now, though, they tried to persuade Festus to bring him to Jerusalem for trial. But look at Acts 25, if you would, in verse 3. As Acts 25 and verse 3 informs us, that part of their plan was setting an ambush to kill him on the way. But Festus would not agree, and he told them to come to Caesarea and he would hear them there. The Jews presented many charges but could not prove one of them. Not a one of them could they prove. In fact, the situation of the Jews was made worse when Paul had the opportunity to reply to their charges. He denied that he had sinned against the Jews, or that he had sinned against their temple, or he had sinned against Caesar. And his clear words convinced Festus that he was innocent of the charges that the Jews had made against him. However, Festus still wanted to placate the Jews, so he asked Paul if he would consent to go to Jerusalem for trial. But as a Roman citizen, Paul had the right to appeal to Caesar. Let's go to Acts 25 and read verses 9 through 11. Verse 9. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." So the case of Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, would not be tried in Jerusalem, where cruelty, injustice, and prejudice meant that there would be no fairness or justice in that trial, or no truth in it, to the respect of his defense of the gospel of Christ. He knew he didn't have a chance there. But by the providence of God, he would not be tried in Caesarea either, but would stand before Caesar in the court in Rome, where fairness, truth, and justice were at least given a token respect. As today, politics was a great game to be played carefully. To avoid an immediate decision to gain the good at will of the Jews who could still make trouble for him, Festus, like Felix, kept Paul in prison. How to present his case for presenting Paul in Caesar's court was giving Festus some problems. He didn't know exactly how to present a case to the court in Rome. So when King Agrippa, this was Herod Agrippa II, the brother-in-law of Felix, and one well acquainted with the writings of the Jewish prophets, he came to Caesarea. Now as we look at chapter 25 and verse 14 tells us that Festus laid Paul's case before the king. He made it clear that he found Paul innocent of any true crime and could have been freed, but that he had appeared to Caesar. Agrippa wanted to hear Paul in prison, and this is what happened. Now the court assembled with great pomp and splendor, and Paul was brought before them in chains. Look at Acts 26 and verse 1. And Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Agrippa had been ruler of his little kingdom for 18 years, and being of Idumean descent, he was a nominal Jew. So let's look at Paul's last public address that we have recorded. That's Acts 26, verses 2 through 19. "In regard to all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. So then, all the Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time previously, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest set of our religion. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O King, I am being accused by the Jews. Why is it considered incredible, you people, if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that I had many things hostile to the name of, many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to their foreign cities. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest at midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. Even though he was permitted to speak for himself, Paul's defense was not for himself, but it was for the cause of Jesus Christ. He could not be disobedient to the heavenly vision, but from this time on committed himself to preaching Christ and his salvation. He detailed his conversation, how the Lord had appeared to him and given him a commission to preach the gospel. He never took a backward step, but in the face of all kinds of persecution, Paul pressed on in his preaching. He was eager to defend the gospel of Christ on any and every occasion that he could. As Paul put it in verse 22, he says, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great. As Paul was ending his defense, his personal safety was a very small matter. It didn't matter to him. It was a small matter compared with making the most of this great opportunity to bring all that was in that court to the conviction that Jesus was the Christ, just as Paul had accepted him. That's his goal, to bring them there, not to be released. Festus listened to Paul's presentation, but he would not accept its conclusion. As a matter of fact, verse 24 tells us, and while Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. Paul denied that, and he turned his attention to Agrippa, whom he knew to be at least a little bit conversant with the Jewish beliefs and from the Old Testament writings. He knew about it. Verses 26 through 29 of Acts 26, Paul said, For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And Agrippa replied to Paul, In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Except for these chains. Agrippa was impressed. He was very impressed, but only almost persuaded, as King James puts it. Unlike Felix, who was frightened as Paul preached to him, it appears as though Agrippa was very sincere in saying that he was almost persuaded, but we can't say for certain. But look at Paul's response, again in verse 29. He said, I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. That's how Paul ended his defense. But he did not really defend himself, brethren. He defended the cause of Christ. At no time, before or after, did Paul fail to acknowledge Christ and his gospel of salvation. All he wanted was for Agrippa and all those others in that audience that day to be what he was, simply a Christian. It was quite enough and it was quite sufficient. That to be a Christian in Jerusalem, in Caesarea, in Rome, in Hardin County, in Bullitt County, Jefferson County, that's the thing, to be a Christian. Paul preached the universal gospel of salvation, the same message of salvation everywhere to everybody. Such as I am, except for these chains, he said. That's how Paul ended his address, expressing his desire that his hearers would become Christians. King Agrippa and Bernice, Festus, and all the dignitaries filed out of the courtroom. They probably spoke with one another about what Paul had said. agreeing that he was innocent of the charges brought against him and might have even been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. But now, just think a bit and allow me to do something that I don't know that I've ever done in a sermon before. I ask you to use your imagination just a little bit. Don't you know that Paul, that night in chains in prison, had more joy in his heart than those free governors and kings and dignitaries who had listened to his plea and rejected it? Think about it. The Apostle Paul remained in chains, but his spirit was free, and it knew no bounds as he performed his duty as a Christian, teaching everybody that he had the opportunity to do so. He would make his trip to Rome, but as a prisoner. And an eventful trip it would be. There is every indication that he would make his defense in the court of Caesar, as was his right as a Roman citizen. For Paul, even in the face of death he was facing in Rome, he was obedient to that heavenly vision that he had experienced on that road to Damascus. And you know what? That's what the Lord asked of us. Simply be obedient. That's all he asked of. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. Now the question is, are you almost persuaded or fully persuaded to obey Christ today? And I can't think of a better invitation that we have in our songbook. And I did not ask Brother Don to sing this. I wasn't sure he knew it. But I knew Bill said he didn't. But to open your books, if you would, just songbooks, to number 647. I'll just read this. Okay. I'm going to read the words. If you want to sing it, that'd be great. Almost persuaded. Now to believe. Almost persuaded. Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to save, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wonder, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail, almost but lost. That's a beautiful song. Those words are beautiful. So I ask you, my dear friends, if there's anyone here this evening, if you believe, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you say yes, then you are ready to become a Christian. And you become a Christian by coming forward, and we sing the invitation song, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because he most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And maybe you're a Christian who have done those things, but you've fallen away. And if you've prayed to God for repentance, we beg you to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. If there's anything at all we can do, any hour of the night, whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, give us a call, give me a call, give Charlie a call. We will take care of you. We'll come here and baptize you. Do whatever you need to have done. Keep that in your mind. If we can help anybody right tonight make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Don.